Faith in God versus faith in man. It's so common for Christians to have, you know, faith in others, faith in doctrine, faith in teachers, faith in preachers, faith in even faith in a scripture on its own, as if it's its own contained element, rather than faith in God. You know, his fullness, who he is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, what that means, what he did, all of who he is that indwells us. And he's been showing me that when we have faith in man, and that can be ourselves as well. You know, faith in man includes not having faith in ourselves. And we don't like that, especially in a Western culture, because we're told to believe in ourselves, and you have to have self-esteem, and you have to go for it, and you have to have confidence, and especially in an American culture. In Australia, you get in trouble for being standing out, but in America, you're trained to stand out, so that makes it very different. And of course, in, you know, other developing nations, people are struggling to such a degree that it isn't even standing out. It's usually such a small, you know, something like 1% of the population, which would be similar to some Western countries, has all the wealth and power, and the rest struggle and scramble for survival. And he doesn't want us to have faith in any man, including our own man, in us, especially given that that man's dead. You know, when we look at it, when he says, you know, we say it all the time, but do we understand, you know, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, because we still are in a vessel, an earthen vessel, but that life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the one who gave himself for us, or for me. So faith is our crucial link to all of God. And it isn't to be used as a browbeating truncheon, like the police have, you know, and you better have more faith. It's never to be used like that. It is our hearts. The seed that's planted in our hearts is where the faith begins. And as he says, it's impossible to please him without faith. And he showed me, he was having me look at Romans 8:8 in regards to that. And it says in Romans 8:8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now we know we're not in the flesh. We have a body. And we live in this earthen vessel. But he indwells our earthen vessel. And the next verse in 9 says, but you, and this is believers, who've given themselves to him, you know, not just made a confession 20 years ago, but never lived for him. A believer is someone who lives for Christ. That doesn't mean we don't do anything, ever do anything wrong. That doesn't mean we sometimes don't make mistakes. That doesn't mean we aren't learning and growing up, because we're children. We are. But our intention of our heart is that we live for him, not for ourselves anymore. And when people find out how good it is living for him, living for yourself is as boring as it can get. It is dead. There's no life in it. There's no joy in it. So what it says in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he is not his. So our faith is based on the Spirit of the living God living in us. We come to Christ. We confess him. We believe in our hearts that he was risen from the dead, that he's the Son of God. That seed gets planted in our hearts. Whatever kind of soil we have, rocky soil, soil torn up by thorns and bushel and thistles, soil that is the seed falls on it and it's taken up by the birds of the air, or good soil. The good soil is up to us, not from the standpoint of do-it-yourself Christianity, never, never, never. The good soil is up to us for saying, "Yield, I'm yielding to you, Lord." And it can be even in an area of our lives, whether it's for healing, whether it's for You know, we're struggling in marriage, whether we're struggling in finances, whether we're struggling in ministry, whether we're struggling in child rearing, it doesn't matter. There's areas inside us, in our hearts, that we often keep secret from Him. Now, of course, it's not secret from Him, but we think we're hiding it, or we're trying to be grown up, more grown up than we are. Because we really get embarrassed, you know, it's the enemy will use this, that element of pride, that we should have it all together. I can't have anything together. I can only have Him. There's nothing together about me. it's only in Christ Jesus that I can do anything and all things. And He's really wanting to focus on how faith in God gives us complete liberty to live in the Spirit. So if we're in the Spirit, we please God. Because it says if we're in the flesh, we don't. And if it's impossible to please God without faith, walking in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is faith in Him. Right? We're choosing His way, not our own. There's a way that seems right to a man, but leads to death. Right? We want the way that leads to life. Holy Spirit is life Himself living in us. He leads to that life in each situation. So if we're led by the Spirit, it says we're sons of God. That's who we are. And if it says in 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's our inheritance. And He was showing me this week about His being the covenant. Do you know the covenant of God lives in us? Isn't that amazing? The very covenant, promise of God, Holy Spirit Himself, who is God, is our guarantee, is a seal for our inheritance. Like a down payment, but not in the sense that He's smaller. He is that guarantee. You know, it used to be even in the 40s, most places around the world, a handshake was as good as a word in many areas, especially in the country areas, you know, rural areas. It may still be that way in some areas, but very few places where you could, modern times, can you trust a man's word simply by his handshake? He says, my handshake, I mean it. I won't back out. Now you've got lawyers, you pay all this money, you sign it, and then there's a loophole anyway, and they get out of it. You know, that's not God. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't have any loopholes. He's indwelling us. He's our guarantee. And it says that for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's the evidence that we are one with God. That we are led by Him. Now, again, we never are going to take that, you know, because there's no condemnation, we're in those who are in Christ Jesus, we're not going to take this like some new rule. Oh, was I led by the Spirit today or not? I'm in, I'm out. No, there's no life in that. There's no life in following after the law of its own. He's written that law in our hearts. Now the life is in our hearts. So we desire to do the right thing. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we fall from that. And what He's telling us is that when we have faith in man, that's when we get confused. That's when we go our own way or their way. That's when we won't be obedient to Him. That's when we won't repent when we've done something wrong, when we're following after man. But if we have faith in God, we'll follow after the Spirit. And that's where He wants to take believers. And it's a life of liberty. Because following after yourselves or counting on yourselves will never lead to liberty. And He was showing me a scripture in the Old Testament. It's 1 Chronicles 21. And I'm just going to give you a synopsis of the chapter rather than reading the whole chapter. It's a time when David is king, but there is strife in his kingdom. And he goes to his one of the leaders of the army, and he says, I want you to count how many men we have in Israel that are for us. You know, how many men that have the spear and the sword are fighters, you know, soldiers, count for them. This leader that he called on was appalled and said, "How can you do this, King David? We're not supposed to count who we have. This is an abomination in God's eyes." That's how God took it. Because David was trying to count on man, not count on God, not trust that God would actually deliver him, would save them out of any kind of snares, would protect them. He wanted to know how many men I have. It's just like what we do with dollars in the bank, right? Oh, how many dollars do I have? Can I do this? Can I do that? And we're counting on ourselves rather than counting on God. And David paid a very heavy price for that. There were thousands that were lost. I think 70,000 men in Israel were lost. And the Lord was very displeased with that, because there's no faith in that, is there? And we're not talking about him smoting us now. We're in Christ. We're in him. But we're talking about that path that leads to death. When we trust in ourselves, when we, you know, there's a way that seems right to a man. I'm going to count all my money in the bank, and then I know I can go do such and such. Even though God's already told me to do such and such, but I want to know that I have that right amount. If I have that right amount, then it's okay. Rather than if God has said, "No, I want you to go and I will replenish your stores." No. No, I want it before I go to that replenishment. And there's no faith in him. And then the other side of this, where it gets very sticky, so to speak, is when we tend to trust in man and his doctrine. And that's what's happening a lot in the body, and that's worldwide. It's spreading like one of those infections, a virus. You know, virus in the computer, virus in the human body, a virus, you know, that makes many sick at one time. And it's a virus of false hope, he's saying right now. Because it's not hope in him. It's hope in, I can understand the doctrine. I can understand the scriptures. I can talk myself out of any problem. People are relying on their position in Christ. And they may not even have that position, rather than faith in God. That's a very dangerous place to be. Because we don't have faith in our position. We have faith in a person, Jesus Christ. And from that faith, we then have the living God living in us, who we are to be led by. It's not optional. You know, it's saying here, look, in 14, Romans 8, 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." That's the description. That's our identity. That's the evidence that we're sons of God. It's not, oh, well, I can be led by the Spirit, or I can be led by doctrine, or I can be led by man, or I can be led by a church, or I can be led by a pastor. No. By the Spirit. That's your one option. There are no other options. And the greatest part about that is a fail-safe guarantee of truth, liberty, righteousness, holiness, in perfect peace. Because when we're led by the Spirit, you know, we may not like what he says. There are times when he tells us to be obedient about something and we are not happy campers about it. And we have to tell him that. We don't have to pretend. Oh, okay, Holy Spirit, I will do the right thing. But inside we're resentful. Inside we're angry. Inside we're fuming. Inside we're trying to figure out a way out of it. You know, if I can just, if I can look at this scripture and twist it this way, maybe I can do that instead. Rather than being honest with him, saying, you know what? I am so unhappy about this. I don't like that you're telling me, for instance, say you have a trip, a ministry trip. I'm just going to use it for instance because it's happened to me. And you want to go at a certain time. You're very, not anxious in a negative way, but you're very excited and you're ready to go. You're raring to go. And he gives you a delay of, you know, some amount of time, much longer than you expected. And you're quite disappointed. You're not at all happy, and you feel let down. But rather than hiding that and pretending it's all okay and you don't mind, and yes, Lord, you're the boss. That, you know, we do all this lip service, but we don't really mean it in our hearts because we're actually hurt. You actually go to the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, who is your comforter, who is your teacher, who's your leader. You know, we might as well call him a leader. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. Well, if somebody is leading, they're a leader. So Holy Spirit's our leader. So he's leading you. And he's saying, no, not at this time. And you're saying, you know, you're replying that you're not happy, that it is discouraging, that you don't understand. You might even stamp your feet. I've certainly stamped my feet with God. You know, I mean, he laughs, but, you know, I still get to stamp my feet. And he tells you, you know, when you ask, when you inquire of him, he's not like, there are times when he will tell you nothing. He'll just say, you're just going to have to trust me. But there are other times you will inquire and he will give you more of the picture. And he may say something like this. He may say, the time that I'm choosing will be so auspicious that the rewards and fruit that will be brought forth from that time that you, you know, if he's going to plant you somewhere or send you somewhere, when you go there, will be far greater than you could ever imagine. And if you go now, although there will be good fruit, you will miss what I am preparing. Not just for you, because he's got to prepare others, you know. We think it's all about us. We tend to be very self-centered. Oh, I'm ready now, so it's all okay. But that's not always the case. There are other people involved in our lives. Even if it's for, you know, leading someone to salvation, and you're so ready, you know the right words, you feel something's moved in you, you're ready to go out there and share it. But that person is completely turned away. We're just saying, for instance, their heart is shut down. He's gonna do whatever's ever necessary for them. That's why we have faith in him. We are led by him. Having faith in him is being led by the Spirit. That's what we're meant to do. And that is synonymous, having faith in him, in Holy Spirit, in Jesus, in the Father, Elohim. Having faith in him is being led by the Spirit. They are synonymous. They're not separate. It's not, oh, I have faith in Jesus, but I can go be led by a doctrine. No. I have faith in Jesus, therefore I am led by the Spirit. Those are the steps in him. Because there's this separation that people have made, and they've made it for a phenomenal amount of time, probably since the 150 AD, by the second century, definitely, there was a real removal, began more and more of a removal of the Spirit, and by about 300 something, I'm not sure, I think it was 324 or something AD, that's when the scriptures started to be written, and rather than that, infusing people with a real faith in who the Spirit was in them, they then cut him off and said, oh, well, now we've got the Word and we don't need the Spirit. Because before that, you didn't have the written Word other than the Old Testament. So they would rely on that. And then the New Testament was being written and hadn't been actually even printed up for people to, you know, even priests or anyone to read. So it's been there's a lot more in-depth history. That's a real cursory synopsis. There's a lot more to it than that. But what's happened is there is a split. That's the important part to notice. And we want to reunite Christians with the living God that lives in them. That's what he's doing at this time. So having faith in Jesus is being led by the Spirit. I have faith in Jesus, therefore I am led by the Spirit. It's a consequence of faith. It isn't optional, as some people have been saying. And it's certainly, see, if you believe more in doctrine than you believe in God, then Holy Spirit's optional. That's just the way it is. Why do you need the Spirit if you've got a doctrine? You know, why believe in being led by the Spirit if you have a doctrine to tell you what to do, or tell you your position in Christ, or tell you who you are? What happens with this? Then doctrine